He was saying that it is really the major meritorial disease. Now, I have diabetes. Diabetes is a killer. You know, there's just no way around it. It's not like cancer, and it's not like a heart disease altogether. But diabetes is a slow one over the years. And little by little, eventually gets to areas of your life. You can go blind. Your kidneys fail. Your liver can give out. And the heart. It works on the heart also. So it's just a very slow type of killer. Now, this, I think, is we can sort of say that anger can be this way in our marriage because it is sort of a slow killer. Sometimes it can be have heavy occasions, but just little by little, erode the marriage. Little by little, it puts a strain on relationship. It's one of those that can hinder what we've been talking about, intimacy. So we have to understand what anger is, because some people feel really bad about their temper. We end up calling it the temper, the anger. But we have to understand that it is an emotion, and it is not sin in itself. Anger is just part of our, how shall I say it, our inner feelings. We've been hurt. That's what anger comes from, frustration, hurt, things such as that. And so we see then that anger itself is not sin. So you and I must be able to distinguish and be able to know how to control this emotion of ours. You see, because it is an emotion that can be hurt, an emotion that is so real and powerful in us that as a child, someone can do something to us and we hold it in. We think we hold it in. But it comes out in different ways in our life, but it comes out. And so, therefore, that's why many of you say, I have a hair-triggered anger. I get angry so fast. That's because maybe inside of you there is some real deep anger, some real deep hurt, something that's been very hard to face. So maybe you marry a man and you're all very good, you know, but as time goes on, you begin to see he has a trigger anger. He gets angry so quick, or she gets so angry so quick. And this may very well be because there's a problem. Then sometimes I feel like there are families that get angry very quick because everybody gets angry. They fight among themselves. They're always, you know, it's almost a habit getting angry. But we have to deal with it. All of us have to deal with it. Because it is a common emotion, it's one that's hard to avoid. Because it is so common. And we should deny it or suppress it. This is one of the worst things we can do. Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to pick up something and hit your husband with it. No, I don't mean that. But I mean that when you have anger, you acknowledge it. You say, you know, don't cover it up. I really feel angry. You know, this is one of the things that I feel is the one of the answers to the problem of anger is that when we can confess to the person, I'm really angry. Instead of yelling at them, instead of trying to, you know, just look at them and say, listen, I'm really angry. This thing has hurt me. What you're saying has hurt me. Instead of allowing that anger to get bigger and then one side begins to hit the other side until you hit the person. You're this, your mother was this, your grandmother was this. This is how, you know, these different things that come in to hit people as a person. So remember that if we can actually be able not to cover it up, not to try to deny it, but recognize that we do have a problem, and this problem is somewhat like when we have heart failure. I'm getting medical. See, I just had an operation. It just brings all the stuff out. No, I'm just teasing. But anyhow, in the heart, sometimes the arteries clog up. And they call that plaque, just like the sort of thing you have on your teeth. And it causes the damage of the heart. And so anger builds up like plaque inside of us. So you don't want to bury it or forget it. You want to face it. So we have to be very careful that we realize that it is not a sin. It's an emotion, a common emotion. But I need to get control of it before it builds up inside of me like plaque and destroys me and those around me. We see that anger is only sin when we dwell on it. You know, when I was reading this and I thought, this is the answer to many mothers' fear. Now, I have mothers' classes, and they always feel bad about their anger. You know, most of them. I mean, they can't seem, well, when a child is really giving you trouble, it's very hard to be maybe smile all the time at them, you know, and the frustration builds up in mothers. But we have to understand, when does that anger become sin? Now, this is the one thing we have to understand. This emotion deals with not only the physical, but it deals, and not only the mental, it deals with the spiritual life of a person. Because when we carry this anger with us all the time, then we see and we understand that it's very little help for us. And then our attitudes and actions begin to grow into sinful traits. Now let me see how we do this. Number four, look at that. Anger becomes sin if we dwell on it. In other words, a mother who's dealing with her children, she gets angry at them. Then she goes and cooks dinner and she don't even remember it. Isn't that right? Most mothers, most of you spank your child. You don't sit there and dwell on it. You don't sit there and say, well, that's a child. You know, actually, you just have your anger spell and it's over with. And I think this is what some of the parents need to realize, because this can become very heavy, is that we don't dwell on our anger with the children. But how about your husband? Most of the time, we don't dwell on the anger with our children, but with our husband and our wife and our mother and our mother-in-law and all these kind of ones, we can dwell on those, what they have done to me. You see, that's what anger is. It has hit you as a person. And you feel like you don't deserve it. It's a little funny to get angry over things you know you deserve, isn't it? you may put up a show like you're angry, but you're not really angry when you feel like violated, that's when that anger begins to stir. So if we begin to dwell on a particular situation and we think about how he treated me, what she said about me, and let it grow inside of us. It goes beyond just a thought or beyond an action of anger, and it begins to root itself in us. And when it roots itself in us, we begin to have revenge. We want revenge. We want to get back at them. And then our heart starts to get bitter. And when we get bitter, then we begin to defile and touch many others with our bitterness. And then it goes to hate. You see, that's where your divorce steps in. They begin to hate each other. Why? Because they have allowed anger, which is really not wrong in itself, but it's how we handle that anger that makes all the difference in our lives. Our problem many times is that we feel we have a lot of low self-esteem. Now, I know that's a nebulous statement, but low self-esteem means we really don't think very much of ourselves. We've either been told that we're not much, we're not worth much, or what maybe we have not produced in our life, and we feel like we're not really worth much. So if somebody is going to hit me, I'm going to build up a wall. Many times we build up that wall of resentment, and then we feel like that's when we begin to allow it to dwell in our heart and go through the process of this anger. So we have to realize then that what we need to do is face our anger. Don't cover it up. Don't say it's just... Find out why I'm angry. You know, when I work with them, with different ones that come in to talk to me, and we get back and back, and we finally find out the thing that made them feel the way they do about themselves, it was like it freed them. They knew why. And in doing that, healing comes. So therefore, we have to recognize that anger is one of those things that you and I need to deal with, need to work with. We have anger management classes now. We have all kinds of things because they recognize that this is very vital in relationships anywhere, but particularly in the relationship in the home. So we see that anger produces in us what? A distance. Just a simple, you know, someone was telling her on herself, she said, my husband made me so angry that night. And she said, I slept on the edge of the bed. Don't touch me. Don't. You know, that kind of, and that's a sort of a cute way of saying it brings distance between you. So for some people, I have an aunt that didn't talk to her husband for 6 months. Yeah. 6 months, she never spoke to him. They lived in the same house. But that was her way. She just clammed up and the distance was there and went through all the misery of that. Instead of facing it, talking it out, getting it out of the way, it begins to make distances. And, you know, fathers and mothers, but fathers have a little more trouble this way with your children. When we are overly angry, when we are overly, it comes and so quick and it comes so often and it comes where there is no sense of your understanding and blaming others and so forth, your children begin to get distance from you. You may wonder, why are they distant from you? Because in a sense, they're afraid of you. In a sense, anger brings this distance. And so we have to understand then that anger, as we allow it to fester in us, begins to bring difference between my mate or even my children. And so we have to realize this and understand it. It not only does that, it tells us that it sabotages. In other words, you're going to try to hurt them. You're going to try to do things. You're going to try to say little things. Kind of try to do little things and let them know you're displeased, that you don't like it, that you're mad at them, you know? And it also eventually leads to the divorce. The plaque builds up in us. And this is so real. And this really makes for a very unhappy marriage. That's why they call it the major marital disease. Is that the effect of it is just slow, like diabetes. Just, it can last part of a lifetime of together. You know how many people they hold out until their children are married, and then they're gone. Why? Because these things have built up in their life. So how can we do it? You know, as we were talking about the distance, the damage effects of this unresolved, and I want you to listen to that word, unresolved anger. Now, I have a course in resolving things, how to resolve problems. But in unresolved, that means problems that never got settled. And that's because we're not willing to face the issues. And so we see here that if you don't, and these problems stay unsolved in your life, anger with its with its with what it happens in your heart brings distance between you and God. It was God who said, be angry and sin not. He knows our anger level. He knows that we, but what did he tell us? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. He not only told us what anger is, but he told us how to resolve it. Stop it immediately. You say, but I'm so heated. You don't know what it is. I'm so mad. Well, then go someplace, take a walk, take a shower, go get a cup of coffee, whatever it is. But before the night's over, say, listen, let's talk that over. I felt hurt. I was angry. And I felt this way. And then they can, you know, many times when we get angry, it's because we're misunderstanding each other. That's why the counseling says when you talk with someone, when they're talking to you, ask them, say, is this what you mean? Because many times what they're saying, you don't hear it right. You hear it under your own, what you want to hear in a sense. So actually you need to be able to face this, or we're going to have distance from others, and we're going to lower your sensitivity means that you're going to be able to get angry longer and harder and not care. After a while, not even care about it. Now, let's see what these four germs that we're talking about here of this disease, of unresolved anger. I want you to get hold of this, not of anger, but of unresolved anger. Anger that's not had an answer. Anger that won't face itself. But if we do, you'll see the difference. But this is like we said, it's withdrawal. We withdraw from each other. It escalates. It gets greater as time goes on. And we belittle one another. There are things that you say in the fit of anger that you would never say otherwise. And it's easy to hurt the other person's. It's easy to say things that will hurt them. Not the problem, but them. You see, this is what happens so many times. It's not the problem that we end up hurting or talking about. It's hurting one another. Saying things that can hurt them. Saying things such as, well, you're just like your mother. And you know he has a hard time with his mother. Or you might say to him, well, this is the way you always are. You're a person no one can ever talk to. You know, and hitting back in a personal way. And this is where we have to realize we don't belittle one another. We build each other. That's what we talk about intimacy is when we're building one another. But anger helps us to tear down each other, to hurt each other, to get back at each other. Sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes it's very outright, very hard, and lashing at each other. But it's there, and it's going to do its damage. Because when a person belittles you, they've really have hit your inner man. And that becomes very hard. And then we get to the place where we have negative beliefs. We believe everything is wrong. Everything they say is not right. We don't want to even listen to them. There's no hope for them. There's no help for them. We just have negative beliefs. Our marriage is broken. It's only because of the children we're staying together. But see, that becomes negative. Your whole married life becomes a negative type of thing. So I think we have to understand that this is a problem. I don't know if it's a problem for you. I'm really not concerned. I'm only concerned about the fact that if it is a problem, you learn how to face it. Now, how do you face a problem? I want you to answer me. You face a problem. Anybody know? Well, maybe that's the problem. We don't know how to face a problem. You see, when we talked about intimacy, we talked about able to commune together, communication. And this is the beautiful part of communication, of intimacy with communication. because you have learned to talk to one another, because you do know how to react with each other, then you can begin to talk this thing over together. And that helps tremendously. But what you have to learn to do is to be able to say, listen, this isn't good enough for us. We've got to come to some agreement here. Now, why are you so angry? You need to know why each other is so angry. You need to question it. You need to confront it. But you said he'd probably kill me if I confronted him with him. He gets so angry. Or she'll throw something at me, you know, something like that. But the fact is that as you begin to work on it, there can come a time when you just sort of say, okay, time out. I don't know what you as a family or what you as a couple can work out together, but there ought to be something that you can say, okay, stop now, you know, or this is enough, let's talk it over. And as you begin to work this out and can talk it out, you know, all the angry problems you have can be talked out. Why is the husband angry? Because you spend too much. And he's writing out the bills. And he's sitting there thinking, how in the world, what does she need that for? What? Oh, she's going to drive me bankrupt. You know, and it sort of gets, and some men, because of their inner anger, that anger really builds up. And then he blows off to his wife. Sometimes she's not even sure why he's blowing off to her. But then she finds out, well, what are you so bad about? And he says, well, look at all this money you've spent. Yeah, it is a lot, isn't it? You know, there is nothing better to stop an argument than agreeing. Do you know that? And you don't have to belittle yourself. You're right. I did spend too much. You know, I got to work on that. And he just, you know, one of them, it was Joyce Myers who said, one day she was getting very upset because her husband loves golf. And so he would go all, just whenever, you know, he loved golf, he loved to be out. And then when he came home, he was late lots of times. She'd have supper ready. And now, Chinese don't seem to mind this so bad, but Americans, in certain families, they hate if you don't get there on time. And you don't get it when it's hot. They really get upset. The wife does. And so she said, I knew he wasn't going to come home. So all day, I'm thinking to myself, he's not going to, and I'm going to tell him. And she said, I built myself up. She said, I was ready to blow up by the time he got home. And she said, when he came in, she said, we got to talk. And he said, let's go out to the car, because they didn't talk in front of the children. They went out in the car, and she said, she started on, why, oh, I cooked this dinner, and you da 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 da. And he stopped, and she stopped, and he said, you're right. She said, I just sat there. My bubble began to burst. What more could I say? He said he was wrong. All day she's getting herself built up for this good old argument. So many times, then when we just sort of, oh, you're right, I did spend too much or something. But when we can confront these things, and when we can look at them as something that is more important to straighten it out than to have my satisfaction. I don't know why we feel it, but we do. We feel that any time we can have our satisfaction against somebody that's done something to us, now the person don't even know it. It's not bothering them at all, but we want to get our satisfaction. We have that push in our heart to get that satisfaction against them. But it really, it's not really satisfaction. It's empty. It's really very empty. So when you want to get your satisfaction, remember, there's really not much satisfaction in letting them know that you hate them. What satisfaction is that? In fact, some of them might say, well, that's good. I don't have to buy a birthday present. You know? But actually, we have to look at things more reasonable than what we do. We look at them so emotional. But we've got to begin to say in ourselves, what really matters? Does me winning an argument really matter? Do I have to push them into the floor to let them know I'm right? Does that really matter? You see, a lot of things really don't matter, and they're gone. But that plaque that's building in the heart of each one of you is still building up. And eventually, there's not going to be any relationship there at all. So we have to understand that. So now what do we do? Well, Mr. Smiley, he was saying, Dr. Smiley, he was saying there's two things. There's always one, the one that it's when they hurt you. And then it's when you hurt others. Now, we have to understand that we hurt others at times with what we say. Now, I was never an arguer, but I could be very much of a, you know, put the knife in quietly and turn it around, you know, that was the kind. Just with a word, I could cut you. That was me. God had to take that out of my life. I had to ask him. I prayed. And whenever I see it sneaking up his little head, I have to tell, Lord, you take care of this now, because I don't want to be that way. But when we are, the fact that we understand, I did hurt them. Now, it may be the other person's fault. Well, I won't say old. You know, it takes two people. We have a saying, two to tango, two to dance. And it takes two to have an argument. Because if the one, like we were just saying a little bit ago, if the one is going to argue with you and you agree with them, then they're finished. And maybe you don't have much that you've hurt that other person, but you have hurt them. So what you need to do is, if I hurt another person, I get to the place where I become gentle. You're not going to do it right after or while you're arguing. That the emotion of anger doesn't allow you much to do that while you're arguing. But it's after you cool off, after you walk out, after you get yourself cooled off, and then you can go back with a gentleness. You're going to ask for forgiveness. You said, me? He's the one that's at blame. But he may not be all the blame. Maybe you only have a small part of the blame, 10% of the blame. He has 90. But let me ask forgiveness for the 10% that's my part. And so as you do this, you take all the responsibility. You say, I'm the one. Okay, I'm the one. I shouldn't have talked to you this way. Or I shouldn't have allowed you to. I shouldn't have done this. But you know, many times when we go to a person, we like to still point out their faults. I shouldn't have done this, but you did so and so. But you did. But when we're coming now, somebody's hurt us, and we come gently to them. We don't come like a bear. We don't come with our face all made up. We come to them with a real sense, a real attitude of saying to them, okay, I'll take the blame. If you feel I am, I'll take the blame. And go on to tell them, I want this thing to be straightened out. I want us to be able to live in harmony. And so if I've hurt you, I take the blame for the hurt that I've given you. Now, you're not taking all the blame. But you are taking the blame for that which hurt them. Because usually in an argument and in anger, you say things that you shouldn't. So take that blame. Then when others are hurt, what do we do? When others hurt you, I'm sorry, when others hurt you. Now this is the big one too. This is a very difficult thing to look at it. Because I have been wounded. Now, if you have a cut, you can't just sort of not even bother to look at it, not take the blood off, not to cover it up, not to try to do something. No, you can't do that. So actually now, you have to be able to say to them, I've been hurt. But before you go to them, you've got some inner things to do. And that is, you've got to release them to God. I wish that I really could say this like I want to. Today my mind is a little foggy. I've got seeds going along with anger. Not really, but my mind is a little foggy. But I wished I could tell you how that being able to release this hurt to God. You say, oh, it works. I know. Listen, I've had resentment and anger against people. I remember a girl in the dorm that, was she my roommate then? I'm not sure. I was so angry at her, I couldn't even look at her. When I see her, I feel it. And anybody that was friends with her, I'd get angry at them. You know, and everything I could think of was wrong. I mean, I really hated the girl. But God came and helped me to overcome that. I know he can do it. He's done it for others in my life, other situations in my life. I mean, like I've said it before, being a woman in a man's world is not easy. Now you say, what do you mean, Sister Schwartz? I mean that the ministry in these last years, or even, well, in these last years within my own church, it's not a woman's world. And they look down on you like a second-class citizen. You understand what I mean? You don't get the honor that men get. You don't have the prestige that men get. You have people saying things, you know, about women. So I've had a lot of things thrown at me because I'm a preacher, because I've been working for the Lord in that particular job. But, you know, God has helped me that doesn't make one bit of difference to me. I couldn't care about the world. Why? Because I settled it in my heart that he is the king of my life. Oops, don't shoot me. He's the king of my life. And I am just not going to let anybody or any situation keep me from making it to heaven. I really mean that. I when I feel something coming in my heart, I immediately look to him. I don't want to have it. I want to release it because I found the freedom that it gives me. The freedom in my heart that I don't have anything there that is bitter, that is hurting me against a person. A freedom that I know that God is going to take care of it. You know, I don't want reward of men. I really wish you, I don't want it at all. I'm going to get in heaven. That's where I want it. That's what I like. You know, when my mother used to get upset about it, she used to say, I don't want it. And when somebody, you know, I really sort of bothers me when they do it because I'm afraid I won't get that reward in heaven, you know. So actually, we have to understand that there has to come within the heart of a person that has been hurt. And I know some hurts are terrible. I've heard a lot of them that you wouldn't hardly believe what some people have gone through and the hurts that they have. We all may have them. But there has to come in the life of a child of God and a person that wants to have a marriage and a relationship with their children that gives them joy, where we can learn to release our rights to God. You take them, Lord. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He's the one that says, step out. Let me take it. Vengeance is mine. And so when we release this, we release it from this corrosive plaque in our heart. When we let it go and trust God, it's like when the doctor puts in a shunt. They call them shunts, don't they? Shunts. Now, a friend of mine, he almost died on the way to the hospital. They got him there, and they put these shunts in his heart, these little tubes in his heart. And now he's doing fine. So it's like God performs an operation on our heart and puts in a shunt, and all the plaque is gone then, and that which is built up in our heart and in our life. So we don't want that bitterness to poison you. That's what bitterness does. It makes a bitter person. It makes a grumbling person. It makes a complaining person. It makes a person that's not likable. It makes a negative person. This is what bitterness and that comes from not allowing the anger to be resolved happens in our heart. It's like when you It's like when you buy some poison for the rat. Get rid of the rat. And instead of giving it to the rat, you ate it yourself. So you see, we think we're going to give poison to those we hate, but actually, I have found that some of them don't even remember anymore. They don't even know what you're talking about. They don't know why you're angry, you know? And many times when there's family fights, you'll ask them years later, what was that fight about? I don't know. I don't remember what the fight was about. But the fact is that we have to understand that we don't want this poison in our life. We want our life to be free. And it only takes a little bit to go and say, I'm wrong. Or, I want you to know that I take the responsibility for my part in this argument. Because it's hard when you as a wife makes a husband feel he's all wrong. Or she as a husband, the wife is all wrong. We're not all wrong. There's always a seed. There's always something in there that is our problem too. At least even how we receive it. So we have to be very careful. You don't want to give Satan a foothold. Because when you do, he takes a mile. What you need to do is make up your mind as soon as these things happen, as soon as the atmosphere is cooled, as soon as you can talk reasonably, you begin, you feel that the other person has hurt you, ask God, please let me just take it away, Lord. Forgive. Let's just forgive. I forgive them. I want you to just put that peace in my heart. Get rid of that. And then go to them and confront each other. And you will find out that many times it's a very foolish thing that you are ruining your life with. Because there is nothing much more beautiful than a relationship of intimacy between husband and wife. As the years go by, and you grow closer together, and you understand each other more. Yes, you've had your arguments, you've had your anger, but you've learned how to resolve them. This is what makes the difference. Learning how, but you say, I'm not going to tell, I'm not, they're all wrong. They're the one that did, I'm not. Who are you hurting? No one but yourself. Have you ever thought about that? You're just hurting yourself. If the poison is still in you, it's going through you, and the other person has gone on their way. Listen, friends, learn how to confront. Learn how to resolve. Get these things out of your life. It happens. It's an emotion. It's real, but it can become sin. But we can stop it by confronting and getting it resolved. God bless you this morning. Thank you for letting me sit down. That was pretty nice. I'm going to kill this thing. I'm killing it. Ooh, don't die. Don't kill me.